Episode 7, Building Blocks Podcast. This time around, we had my buddy Anthony Zirilli from Zirilli Homes come on. He told us about his history. He told us about how he started off learning the building trade by being a conventional builder and then found this incredible passion and excitement in the manufactured building space. So he came on to educate Bill and I a bit.
Absolutely. And you and I always say one of our goals is to learn something new every episode. And for me, this was hugely educational. I'd always been interested in modular building, but I knew very little about it. So I really appreciate him educating us.
Absolutely. So hope everyone enjoys the show. With that said, let's get it started. And we're live again. Hello, friends. Axel Gluckin here with Bill Stanford. How are you, Bill? Happy Friday, as always.
Happy Friday. It's great to be with you.
Absolutely. So this is a pretty awesome and special episode. We're going to switch it up a little bit. Today's guest is Anthony Zirilli from Zirilli Homes. Anthony, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Pleasure being here.
Yeah, I know we're going to jump into a new topic that we haven't discussed thus far, which is modular homes, which I'm pretty excited to learn more about and get some additional info. But before we do that, let's do this. Let's turn over your baseball card, right, Anthony, and learn about your history and your background. So why don't you tell us a little about that?
Okay, so I'm a third-generation builder. My grandfather built throughout New Jersey. My father did. And then I came into the business. I was brought up as a traditional stick builder. We did a lot of residential work. And we also did a lot of commercial work, banks, warehouses, things like that.
Yeah.
Throughout growing up with my dad, I was on job sites, you know, as a little kid, sweeping homes, things like that. And
literally from
when I was probably 7-8 years old, I remember I used to go around and pick up the nails off of the job sites and put them in a cup. And, you know, my dad was very frugal. I mean, and we reuse those nails, which are pretty funny. So he taught me everything from masonry, excavation, framing, you know, electrical, plumbing. So throughout, you know, my career, I've pretty much done every aspect of the building industry, whether it was on a personal home renovation for myself or out on the job, which I found really helps me when it comes to looking at designs and decisions, because I really know what can be done and what can't.
Sure.
And that kind of leads me into so when I was somewhere in the age of 26, 27, I read an article in the newspaper about modular construction.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't know that much about it. My father was totally against it. He did one probably 15 years prior, and they were glorified roll-offs. They literally rolled off of the truck onto the foundation. So I wrote letters out to 21 different companies. Three of them got back to me. I went and visited the plant, and I said, you know what, Dad, I'm going to try this. And I did it as a spec-built home.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the town of Point Pleasant, New Jersey.
Yep.
And he really wanted nothing to do with it. My dad's old school. You know, everything was traditionally built stick frame. Make a long story short, I built the house. I didn't even get a realtor, because realtors, even today you find it, but not so much. But back then, where they weren't educated on modular construction,
sure.
If anything, they put it down as opposed, because they just weren't educated. I put it on the market for sale by owner, and it took me about a month and a half. I had a few open houses, and I sold it. I wound up buying another piece of property in the same town, and I put up the same house again. It was in an area that had a lot more exposure, because it was on a more a road that had more traffic. And are you guys? I'm sorry,
yeah.
Paul. And as I was building that one, my father actually walked in the house and walked through it. He saw what was going on. I had cars stopping at least several a week. People would come by and they would look and they were very interested.
Yeah.
And they asked me, would you build me a modular home or can I meet with you? So in the first, let's say 2 years, I was probably doing 10% modulars and 90% stick.
Do you remember what year this was?
That was over 20 years ago. So it was probably 1996, 97.
Wow. Awesome.
The homes back then were a lot less customized. No one was really pushing the buck to try or pushing the envelope to try to make them custom. So they were boxy. So it was like a center hall colonial.
Yeah.
Our business was 10% modulars, 90% stick. And in a matter of about 10 or 12 years, it completely reversed. And it was purely by the demand, people getting educated on modular construction.
Sure.
A lot of the things I was doing out there, I was doing seminars. I was, going into a restaurant and I would publicize it. And I would do, an expo on why modular. And we were getting anywhere from 40 to 60 people show up at each one of those events.
Wow.
It's taken a long time to...
Yeah, like anything else.
Yeah, it really did. It's taken a long time for people to get educated. But as I was stating earlier, like even the real estate agents, they were negative about it back when I first started. And now, because it's so prominent up in this area, mm-hmm. they've gone and gotten educated. So you find a lot more that are helpful instead of harmful through the building process.
Yeah. So I was going to get to the whole perception of the product here in a moment, because I agree with you. Right? It's very difficult. It's brave of you to take kind of like that leading role in the educational process of your product. I'm going to get to that in a second. But
okay.
Let's do this one first. Why don't you give our audience an overview, especially for those that maybe aren't as familiar.
Okay.
Maybe they're not in the Northeast, right? So let's give them an overview of the difference between a modular construction constructed home versus a conventional stick build.
Okay. So I think most people are very, they've seen a house being stick built on a site. So the foundation goes in and then a pile of lumber shows up, you know, the framing goes on, there's inspections, you know, the sheathing goes on, or the plywood, most people call it, go on the home, the windows go in, and it's like putting together, it's like getting a puzzle and putting all the pieces together on
sure.
site, every last detail. So it takes longer. You would need more supervision. There's more inspections, and it's just a lot more work to do on site.
Sure.
Where a modular home, there are pieces put together in a factory, which is a controlled environment. Typically, the factories are anywhere from 100 to 250,000 square feet. They build, I'll call them units or boxes. These boxes start on a jig at the beginning of the production line. I like to kind of equate it to building a car. You can get all the pieces of a car and put it in a parking lot, and you can put it together, or you can get all the pieces and put it in the factory, and it goes down the assembly line.
Sure.
Both will get built, but which one's more efficient?
Sure.
So
that's a good analogy.
The modular is the same exact thing. We order a home. There's a little bit of a lead time to get all the materials. They show up to the factory, and then as it goes down the line, you'll have the framing, the windows go in. It's kind of unique. This one area of it I found when I first started doing this, they actually sheetrock the house before they put on the sheathing on the outside, which everybody knows you could never do that in the field because of weather conditions.
Right.
The reason they do that is – while they, after the sheetrock goes up, they can install trim, cabinets, and fixtures while they're still doing the electrical and plumbing on the other side of the wall.
Wow.
So it saves a lot of time.
How much time? Not to cut you off.
Well, I
do you think it saves?
To get to the point where it goes from lumber on the jig in the factory mm-hmm. to it being wrapped and leaving the factory, like a 2,500 square foot house.
Sure.
It takes about 6 or 7 business days.
Wow.
if you did that in the field to try to go from foundation through how far the modular home brings you, you're looking at like 5 or 6 months.
Wow. That's incredible. So then,
yeah, it really is neat. I tell anyone who is considering going modular, visit the factory. Like, I set up factory tours for my customers or potential customers.
Right.
And once they go there, it really sells itself. They see the efficiencies. They see how these things are built. They see how it goes down the assembly line. It's kind of neat. I mean, I get a lot of customers when we're building their house, they actually go to the factory and walk their home while it's going down the line. Wow. They find that very interesting.
Yeah.
You know? So again, basically, then these boxes or units go on a truck. They're driven down to the job site. We have a crane that lifts them off of the truck, puts them on the foundation. The foundation is exactly the same process as if you stick built. You need a foundation. You put the boxes on, and typically, it's kind of funny. When in the morning, you have a job site that just has a foundation sitting there. Hmm. By typically 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, you can walk up the front steps, go into the house, walk upstairs, and walk around a house that's sheetrocked, cabinets are in, countertops are on. A lot of times, my big joke to the customers is, if you go in one of the bathrooms and you shut the door behind you, it looks like you're in a 100% finished bathroom. Tile, fixtures, soap dishes, shower doors, everything. It's really neat. So I laugh because if you see cars drive by in the morning going to work, you know, people are looking, what's going on? There's a big crane there. Right. In the afternoon, they go by, they're coming home from work, their eyes can't be any wider. They're like, oh my God, there's a house there, when in the morning there was nothing. So
yeah,
it's really neat.
You talked about the lead time.
Kid, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. You talked about the lead time of the factory. I mean, are they at capacity right now? What's the backlog? If I wanted to buy a house from you today, what is the start to finish timeline?
If you physically, putting the paperwork aside, like the permit paperwork and all that, and contracts and all that, because that's all very similar time frames to do the paperwork. But once you can, we order the house will show up to the property in about 5 weeks. Again, we need to order the cabinets and the windows and stuff. And in that time, we're also putting the foundation in, and we're pouring the slab underneath, and we're grading the property. So a lot of it, that if you were stick building that you're doing, you're only getting to the point of getting lumber delivered over those 5 weeks. We're going to bring a house in after 5 weeks. So you're picking up a tremendous amount of time savings in the overall project timeline.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is Anthony, you said that a perception, especially in the beginning in the 90s, was like a huge problem. Is it still a hurdle you have to overcome when dealing with, you know, prospective buyers?
It's really not. And I feel like I have a story for everything, but let me tell you a funny story.
Go for it.
So
you're the star, man.
I was building in Point Pleasant. I was doing spec building, and then people were coming to me to build. So I built in Point Pleasant, and then I built in Bricktown. I built in Toms River, and they're very nice towns. They have their higher income areas, and their median income areas. I used to say to my wife, you know, if I can build in Manasquan, you know, that's when I'm going to break the barrier. If I can build in Seagirt, if I can build in up by the Navisink, you know, and over the course of years, I was getting jobs in those towns. And if you see the homes, completely, like, you could never pick out which is a modular and which is stick built. Well, back in the day when we first started, you could.
Sure.
And for example, I built a house. This is one of the bigger projects. I built a house up on the Navisink. It's 11,000 square feet. Wow. It's two doors down from, you guys familiar with John Stewart, the comedian?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Two doors down from him, which actually, he was stick framing a house while we were building ours. So we used to see him, you know, come in and out all the time. And then you look out the back window on the property and you've seen Bon Jovi's house across the Navisink River. So that tells you we went from this big stigma to building homes like this at the Jersey Shore. It took a lot of years to get there, But, you know, I just don't see the stigma there anymore. I mean, towns like Seagirt, I'm building on the ocean, 7,800 square foot home on the ocean in Seagirt. And, you know, kind of branching off on that story, this house we built directly on the ocean. Mm-hmm. It was about 90% complete when Superstorm Sandy hit.
Wow.
Our house was on the ocean. We lost a little bit of siding on the side of the house facing the ocean. The house won in. About 3 months later, they had to demolish it because it had so much damage. And you're mm-hmm. talking like a $6 million house. They had to take it down, and it was one in. So the construction of modular, you just, you know, we build a very good stick-built home, but you can't compete with what's built in the factory.
Do you think that modular building can really take advantage of like new technologies and products, you know, at a quicker rate than just regular stick built homes? Because I know that, you know, especially every single year, there's new companies, new strategies, new products, just to kind of like help builders out, maybe to make the end product stronger. Do you think that, being as though that you have such an advantage, especially from a seasonality perspective, like can modular building take advantage of that at a greater capacity?
Absolutely. And I can tell you why, because I've run into situations where a customer will come in and let's say, quote unquote, they want a smart home, but they want a certain brand or customize it a certain way, whether it's running the entire house off of your smartphone. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have them set up that, excuse me, if a customer pulls up at night, the house detects their cell phone got into the driveway and turns on the lights for them. They don't even have to do that. It opens the garage door. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously the cameras, alarm systems, the nest system for their HVAC.
Sure.
We're doing a house up in Spring Lake Heights right now that's a greenhouse. And basically, they have this house set up that it's a very high-end, efficient home. You know, it's whether it's the materials we used inside or the technology. I just built a spec house in Bricktown that's net zero. If it wasn't for needing the city sewer and water, I could have this entire house run without being on the grid. So it's a matter of, you know, one, you need to have some of the knowledge or information behind you when you're installing this.
Sure.
I find that the factories are welcoming it with open arms because it's just another way that they can incorporate that into their product and move forward with what people are looking for. In the field, there's a lot more work involved, and I think there's a lot more people involved in order to get things installed or changes. And you know, when you have something being done in one location, at the factory going down the line, as opposed to different people showing up different days, I think you lose some of those efficiencies. And at the factory, you have it so that you can get it installed, you know, when something initially comes out. If that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I actually was my next question was, I'm sure there's a lot of builders that maybe aren't educated in the modular world. So I guess even if they wanted to learn more about it to see if it's a good fit for their own business, Anthony, what best practice can you share with them? Here's like step number one on how to educate yourself to see if this is something that, you know, fits into your organization.
Okay. So in the industry right now, like I sit on the Modular Home Building Association, MHBA. I'm a board member.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the major issues that we're talking about and we've been talking about is educating new builders that are coming into the modular industry. There's not enough education out there for new builders that come in. It seems like if someone comes in and they say, oh, you know what? I seen that go up so quick, that modular at this property. I want to get involved. They don't know the process. Typically, the first home or two, if they do them, they're going to fail. And then they leave the industry and they're going, I'm never going to do that again. I'm going to go back to what I know.
Right.
We've been working with several builders to have a network throughout the country. And I've been doing this a long time. So one of my suggestions was send a builder to a set or meet with another builder in that area or in that region and see what goes on from the time that they sign the contracts and they have the plans through the construction process. Mm-hmm. I've met with dozens. They come to a house set. I show them, you know, what we did for the house set, how it's put together, and then what's left to complete on site to get the homeowner in. You know, some of the people, builders, I should say, are not really hugely for that idea because they're worried about competition.
Right.
My answer back to that is, look, there's a lot of work out there. And if you're good, people are going to come to you regardless of someone else in the area. You know,
like I
say, you know what I mean? So I think they need, I think number one, from the builder's perspective, other builders can help builders. The other thing that we're trying to push for, which there's not enough of right now, is I truly believe the factories should get a lot more involved in, instead of someone coming to them and saying, oh, I want to be a modular builder, let me buy your product, and they just sell them the product really without, you know, any education, and then it's almost setting them up to fail. They should have at least a couple day class that they come in and they walk them through like we do on site with some of the builders and give them that education. So when it comes, they're not surprised on what they have to deal with on site. There's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe even like your building association could set up almost kind of like a mentorship program for those that, you know, are interested. Right. So maybe come maybe apprentice with you for like a month. I mean, what's the big deal?
And more importantly, actually, it's funny you say that because that's one of the ideas we're talking about. We're trying to put together because once we initiate this, we're going to start advertising and pushing it. But that is one of the ideas out there that we're talking about.
That's I think that's such a great idea. Like if someone is worried about it, I think it's just lack of education. You said that in the beginning, right? It's lack of education. So why not, especially if you're curious about, hey, what could I do to kind of step my quote unquote game up and maybe offer a different product set and maybe offer a better product too. So it's pretty incredible. But Anthony, we're at the end of time.
Okay.
If people wanted to learn more about modular homes or if they wanted to get in contact with you and maybe even have a home built by Zerilli Homes, if they're in the New Jersey area, how could they get in contact with you?
They can go to our website, which is www.zarellihomes, ZARRILLIHOMES.com, or they can call the office at 732-262-4848.
Awesome. Anthony, this was incredibly educational. I absolutely loved it. Thank you so much, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Anthony. I appreciate it. Thank you.
That's the end of our show. Thank you again to Anthony Zerilli for coming on and sharing his thoughts on the manufactured building space. Once again, this podcast is brought to you by Quality Builders Warranty. You can learn more about them by going to qbwc.com. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and leave us a review. And until next time, have a great week, everyone.